Hello everybody and welcome to a slightly different video today. We've been doing a lot of streams and not really had much time to do videos, but I thought we'd do one, well, really in partnership with our publisher Whifflings. We've got Mr. Consumer here, who is kind of the, well, the, you described the CEO of Whifflings, really, but it's your little baby project. And those of you who've got books in your hands and are curious as to what the little Whifflings logo means, we can kind of go through a little bit about, one, how anti-politics came about somewhat, although we've been through that a bit before, but two, a little bit about Whifflings and how it's, I think, an excellent example of how people say you can just do things, but then point to things other people are doing. You can just do things, but you have to do them yourself. And to slightly undercut the title, the way to start an independent publisher is just to do it. But that's easier, obviously easier said than done. So we'll be going through some of the lessons here that Mr. Consumer has learned, and also the fact that our book will be on sale, and some of the interesting projects that Whifflings has in general. So you'll get kind of an independent publishing roundup here, and also some of the exciting future projects. But just a snapshot of what we're doing. Anyway, first of all, do you just want to say hello and introduce yourself, Mr. Consumer?
Hi, Scrump. Thanks for having me. Yeah, so I go by Consumer in these spaces, and I can sort of be described, as the CEO of Whifflings Publishing. It's not only me working on it. We have plenty of talented volunteers and also writers working on this in this publisher, but that's me, and I'm happy to be here.
For those of you who weren't aware, yes, there is a relation between the Shieldings events and the Whifflings Publishing, the Witten events and all that, because obviously you have the event books for selling your website, which is, I know that confused a couple of people, because it is sometimes hard to knit together who's who, but there is that relation there. So it's a good track record of both putting out books and putting on events. So it's kind of a double whammy there, and it's nice to have the two ends connected together. But you've been doing rather a lot this year. You've had a very productive year. I'll actually just go over to the Whifflings website, because we feature this sometimes at the beginning of the stream, but many of you won't really know what this is. And this is your current selection of books, and also recently a magazine. We're not getting too ahead of ourselves here. But those of you who are wondering what Whifflings is and why they're selling a book, it's because we've done this in a very self-contained, in-house way with people that we already know and people we've already, you know, collaborated with, or we've collaborated with their friends before. It is really how you bake a scene together and you create more of a self-reinforcing ecosystem. I don't know, how would you describe from your end that Whifflings came about?
Well, it is quite like that. So the Shieldings events, you're quite right that we're very closely connected to Shieldings in that we're both part of the Beowulf Foundation, which is sort of which you could call a foundation to build services and products for our space, to help basically anyone from influencers to people in the space in general. Now, the way Whifflings came about at first was that Shieldings events kind of always had a book branch, in that the talks would be preserved in some sort of a book format that could be published and that people could buy. And we've been doing this for the past, basically since Shieldings events started. But we realized that, okay, we go through the process of making, you know, one book a year for the Witten in England, but why don't we do some more books? So then we, I guess to put it in the way you described it, we just did things. We started by making the website and put the Shieldings event books up there. But then we got into some new books, which we'll get into shortly.
Yes, it was nice to be kind of part of the launch of you doing the non-event book stuff, because we were really kind of the first non-event book title. I don't know. I think it was actually you had the...
Yeah, you were.
So we were kind of, it was a little bit of a collaboration there, but it was very nice to be on the ground floor. And, you know, it does make a difference. You guys, off the back of some of that, have been able to get a little bit more capital together and be able to more comfortably republish a few things that you've done. It is a case of getting a product out there. And thanks, everyone, for buying book. I should probably not bury the lead too much and say this is also to say that there will be a discount on Anti-Politics Volume 1 for those of you who don't know about book We do shill book, but we'll be giving you a discount on book. This has been recorded beforehand, but I'm sure you'll be seeing this blasted in various formats on our social media to let people know. We just thought we'd give people a bit of a reward for surviving January, because everybody seems to be having an extremely rough January this year. So yeah, it's a good kind of end of January blowout there, and it's if you didn't catch it there, that is a discount code FREN. For those of you who listen in a radio format, discount code FREN. If you can't spell it, I'm not sure where you are. I do go on the consumer about the way that you guys were able to, because I'm jumping about a little bit here. Obviously, we brought out Anti-Politics Volume 1. And for those who don't know, we'll probably read a quote from it in a little bit. But the way it worked is you were also able to secure the Hilton books, which is the quadrilogy. I've been reading through these myself because I've read a bit of some of these on PDF, but having them in a real book format has been very exciting for me, as somebody who is kind of just a fan of good literature. It's great to have the Hilton kind of quadrilogy here to have in a proper format, because it also forms a bit of a basis to some of the things we've been writing for work that will come probably a lot later, but they are extremely good reference books of history from a different point of view. Well, don't worry, we'll jump back to shilling the book before, but this is something that I was genuinely very happy that you guys were able to bring out, because these are things that I was looking for, and they're actually things that quite a few people were looking for. So again, we're jumping about a little bit here. Do you want to give us a little bit about the Hilton titles and how that came about?
Yeah. So these were sort of in the work also before Anti-Politics was released, but this was considered one of our main projects and kind of a culmination of what we were able to do with the Shieldings books, and that we built a capacity to have artists to make covers, right? Getting essentially volunteers. You'll notice me kind of repeating that we are quite volunteer based. And by the way, if you want to go on the website, if you want to volunteer, do any work with this, you can actually just contact us. You know, you can also do thing. But
yes,
yeah. So there's an email address at the bottom. There's also a "We're looking for volunteers" banner at the top. But to get back to the point, we had built sort of experience making a book, figuring out, oh, how do you get one of these ISBN numbers? Where do you do that? Oh, how do you actually get a book printed? Right? How do you do that? And stuff like registering companies as well. So sort of like the first baby steps of building a publisher, which is to get these Shieldings event books out there. But then we think, okay, we want to bring back some really good literature. And one of these is by Major General Richard Hilton. And as you pointed out, the quadrilogy, it's going to become a sextilogy, six trilogy. I'm not sure how that goes, but it's a there's going to be two more books from Richard Hilton soon.
All right. Good on Hilton for beating George R.R.R. Martin there. I'm pretty sure Major General Hilton has about as much chance as bringing out a completely brand new book as J.R.R. Martin. But
we'll double that rate for sure. Hilton was also quite old when he wrote his final book in his 70s. And he wasn't lazy, so I don't know what Martin's on about.
Yes.
But... but essentially, what we were able to do then was to do some of the research to locate the rights holders and to essentially request the rights, which we were able to do quite successfully. And this was quite what you could call very it's a good way to kind of give back to a community in many ways, because Richard Hilton's descendants were actually very happy that someone took notice of this issue and that other people were discussing what you might call the issues that we have in the West in general, but also in Britain in particular, right? Anything from the decline of the British Empire to geopolitical collapse to some of the collapses in standards in education. A lot of issues that are linked to what we talk about today were being discussed by Richard Hilton and people like him, 50 years ago. So it also kind of gives us an indication that a lot of the stuff that we're dealing with is not just new, and it's not going to be fixed by the next populist president. It's it's quite deeper than that, and these books really help
with that. I've been rather enjoying them. I would recommend all of them, and I would recommend the new ones as they come out as well, because this has been something I've been wanting to read. That's been rather fortuitous. I guess we should talk about very briefly. Oh God, if this is your first of our streams, we could go through the first thing in the book in the anti-politics book is just the definition of anti-politics and what that is. You know, anti-politics, noun, reaction against or rejection of the practices and attitudes associated with traditional politics. And it goes into the intro, which I think I've actually just read on stream before, so I won't get too much into that. But the core principle there is that it having this ecosystem, having your own ecosystem of, I know it's people call it word cell or books, or you know, it's just words or it's just academics and things, but it's a good starting point. And having your own ecosystem where you can cut out what is considered quote unquote, you know, the normal political din, the stuff that usually drowns you out. Once you can cut that out and start focusing on what you actually want to say and what you actually want to put in a longer format, like, you know, like you've done with dusting off the Hilton books or with picking up people like Corncrake or with any of the original books that you'll be putting out, I don't want to say too much, but there will be more from people that you recognize from Whifflings. Do not worry. But it's just the idea that it is completely contrary to our current politics. Is the idea of this longer time horizons of the revival of, you know, quite obscure books about subjects like the death of the British Empire. I know historical revisionism actually in the meantime has become slightly more fashionable, but it's a good thing that you guys were putting in the legwork years ago to somewhat not quite ride the wave, but I'm very happy that there is this appetite now for this doing of politics that is different than just the slop cycle. It's very anti-slop cycle to be bringing out like the Major General Hilton books again. And I'm very glad to hear about his estate and how they were, you know, glad that someone was reprinting and listening to the things that he was saying all those years ago. They remind me of, if anyone's read any of the A.K. Chesterton stuff, Our New Unhappy Lords, it's very much a good, honest and in that way extremely historically revisionist telling of some of the death of the British Empire and the transition from what was an older world into the world we currently live in. It's very good. But the other thing you've got as well is the first physical edition of Corncrake magazine. I know people have been enjoying their Islanders, and I had Rory on the stream the other week. That's kind of his baby. Was Islander Magazine and all that, but there's also Corncrake Magazine, which I've read digitally online for quite a while. But you've got a physical version of this coming out as well.
Yeah, that's right. So we have pretty close collaboration with our friends at the Corncrake Mag, and we've been able to do magazines as well. So last year we had a temporary run of a magazine for the Pendragon Foundation, which are working to figure out a way to renovate castles, essentially preserve the cultural heritage of Britain. But the Corncrake in particular has, for a long time, released a very high quality magazine online with very high quality both artwork and also articles. You can get things like chapters, serials from books, which is something you didn't really you don't see too much today, but which was very common, say, 100 years ago, which is a book being released, you know, chapter by chapter by chapter in a magazine or some other publication. But you also get poetry, you get and you get artwork, and you also get reprintings of very old short stories and extracts from very old novels in the Corncrake, which makes it very nice, what you might call Sunday reading, essentially when you know you're sitting in your chair, you want something more cultural to read, right? It's less political, but it's more cultural. And we're very happy to then have the first physical edition, and they'll essentially be one of these a month. So you'll have January and February. So in a few weeks, there'll be the one for February, and so on and so forth.
It's good. If I wasn't putting all my writing energy into trying to get the second book done, I've been trying to write more, but it's difficult with real life stuff that goes on. Because as you mentioned, a lot of people associated with this are volunteers, and there is a decent volunteer network that helps support all of this. So thank you to everybody out there who's helped out in some capacity. Because I sometimes interact with people who I've kind of seen and known online for years, and it turns out that they've been doing bits and pieces for the Beowulf Foundation, or even bits and pieces of Wurflings, or are thinking about doing so. So it's been a good community effort, and Corncrake magazine is one of the things that comes out of this. I know I've shared their stuff a bit before on social media, but I'll try and make an effort to bring up stuff that I find interesting in this as well, because it's just something I like seeing. It's such a strange thing to say, but when I see the concrete stuff, you know, even just on my Twitter timeline, I know Twitter's such slop, but it's a nice kind of like clear ray from the absolute torrent of slop I can't seem to get rid of, even though I have been unfollowing people recently. It is a nice kind of break. It's a nice thing to have. And again, it is something almost completely in-house. The big, well, no, that's the cover, sorry, then I'm looking for. A big book you've got coming out, though, is a book called Bolsheviks, which I've been reading through the kind of PDF you sent me of that, which is absolutely fascinating. I wasn't familiar with this. This from you to me kind of came out of slightly left field. But this is a translation, I believe, isn't it?
Yeah, so this is a very interesting book that I'm very, very happy to have actually been able to bring back. So I'll briefly kind of explain the historical context of this book. So the author you can see on the cover there is someone called Mikhail Perubkin, and he was essentially a Russian author and writer who could be described as a Bolshevik or a Bolshevik fellow traveler before the revolution, right? He was in Bolshevik circles. He hanged out with a lot of the Bolshevik people, met personally Lenin, Trotsky, and also less known Bolshevik figures, and was part of also a lot of Bolshevik meetings where they were strategizing, very much kind of pre-revolutionary, revolutionary circles. And he actually became an ex-Bolshevik. He got disillusioned with the Bolsheviks after they gained power, and in his words, started destroying Russia and started betraying Russia to Germany in the First World War. And then he was forced to flee to Italy, learned Italian, and then basically because he was too worried about the Soviet state going after him, he wrote this book in Italian. But what it is basically this book was published in 1918, and it was a sort of recapitulation of the Bolshevik, the major Bolshevik figures at the time. Now, some of these people will be very well known to a modern audience, like your Lenin and your Trotsky, but then you have other people who are a bit less known, like characters such as Parvus, Gorky, and so on. And essentially you get about 10 personal portraits of key Bolshevik figures, basically a chapter kind of explaining who this figure is, what their personality is like. And you also get some recapitulations, sometimes satirical, sometimes a bit more serious, of Bolshevik history. So it's a very fascinating historical document that's sort of been saved from the archives of an Italian library, so to speak. And you get a real kind of I guess I would describe it as a more visceral feeling of the Russian Revolution and also of just like this type of political movement in general. But besides just the entertainment value of learning about the Russian Revolution, you also get quite a few, I would say, relevant banger quotes from people like Lenin here. So I'll start with this very fun quote from Lenin, which I think we don't need to get too much into the metapolitical, I guess, discussion on the right today, but for every actual Bolshevik in my party, there are 60 fools and 39 swindlers, right? Now, you could probably swap out some of the words there, and it might make sense to how the populist writer behaved. You know, for every actual revolutionary in the party, there's 60 slop-addicted people and 39 grifters, maybe, would be the modern translation.
It's something we've talked about in our work in the past, and especially Evelyn when she did some of her kind of grounding work about revolution and reform and iteration and the complete futility in many cases of reformism. But Lenin as a revolutionary who has to deal in a realistic sense with the mass is very interesting, because most of his rhetoric in candor and his rhetoric internally and his internal communications completely belie the absolute top-down nature of what the Bolshevik Revolution was. That this was something that was imposed on people from above and without, and that most people, even if they were somewhat enthusiastic about it, couldn't communicate it. You know, 60 fools. A lot of the problems they were having with Bolshevism at the time were to do with people just not quite understanding it. You're trying to impose abstract ideas on a hand-to-mouth peasant society in many cases. It's all very... It's all very clown car in many ways, and Lennon's lamentations are quite, you know, quite infamous. There was one in Evelyn's Lessons from Revolutionaries where he's talking about kulaks. Go and seek that out if you've not read that. But there's a second quote here. I'm not quite sure about the context of this one.
Yeah, I'll explain the context. So the Bolsheviks are having an internal meeting where they're deciding how to approach the death penalty as a concept. Now, the Bolshevik ideological position then ends up being, oh, we're against the death penalty. But Lenin is the odd one out in this meeting. Says, you know what? No, we should do the death penalty. And then one Bolshevik, you can almost kind of imagine a Soyjak face as he's saying this, says like, but you contradict Marxist doctrine. Turns out you aren't a socialist, Lenin. And here you can see Lenin's kind of more organizational and power-oriented view on display. Now, we've very much dramatized it with the capitals, but you know, he says, I don't care how the future generations look at me. I'll use all necessary means to accomplish, well, he says, bring the proletariat to power, even if I have to pass through mountains of corpses and oceans of blood. Long live power, right? Which is another one of those ruthless indications of who Lenin is.
I cast off sentimentalism, the deceiver. It's all he is very much like a preacher in this mode, isn't he?
Yes. And I suppose if some people say, like, during the decline, you might have to harden your heart, so to speak, this could be very much that kind of sentiment. But you're going to get in Bolsheviks, you're going to get a lot of these types of quotes from your major Bolshevik figures. And you're also going to learn about some of the less known figures of the Russian Revolution, which are, in my opinion, very fascinating. The last thing I'll say on this book before I guess we move on, it's coming out this weekend, so you'll see it on the website very soon. It also comes with interior artwork, about 10 pieces of interior artwork, which are essentially artistic renditions of these Bolshevik figures themselves. Huh. So it's a very worthwhile product to buy.
I'm looking forward to that, because I think I had someone who was helping me with the translation contact me about it too. But I was extremely just... Some of the passages in this are absolutely excellent. It's a very good companion to any of Lenin's works, really. I think it's an extremely worthwhile portrait, because you're right, the other Bolsheviks are never talked about, for good reason. And if you look into their backgrounds, what they did, and how they were later regarded, even the Soviet Union. But talking about them really is almost like a superpower. It does... We are the people who remember, and being the people who remember is, again, a... in of itself, a powerful thing to be, because it's in the age of actual like 15-second news cycles, remembering is a superpower. So don't forget to remember. But the other thing we've got really here is the Schilding's Events, which is your Road to Rebirth, which is from the German event, is it?
This one is also coming out during the weekend. So Schilding's Event books, that was the origin of Wilfings, and it's still a thing. Now we're able to release A Road to Rebirth, which is the event book for the Karlstage conference in Germany. By the way, for any of our German friends, if you want to go to the Karlstage in 2026, you can go on the Schilding's website. Tickets are up for sale. This was the inaugural conference in Germany. So you get a lot of our... some people from England, you know, people like Sargon, but also a lot of our German friends, obviously, who were pondering the idea of A Road to Rebirth. You can kind of see a bit of symbolism in the cover, you know, a bit of some German eagles being reborn. There are quite a few what you could call modern banger revolutionary quotes in a way. Here we got the Schilling's website for the Karlstage.
Yes.
And you can... you can buy a ticket if you want to go to an event for a wonderful weekend, 3 days of intellectual discussion, but also a little bit of partying. You get to meet quite a few interesting people there as well. We'll have Ed Dutton, Athenian Stranger, and Schattenmacher as well, which I think is a pretty good segue to the quote.
It is. I enjoyed his speech in the event book from 2024. I'm actually going to be using part of it for something that I've had a long-running project that runs along the same lines called The Limits of Scientific Knowledge that I've been trying to turn into a very long essay. But I've ended up going down a bit of a research rabbit hole because, again, thank you to the people that we know, because I know all kinds of interesting people in research, in all kinds of leading-edge scientific and engineering applications, and some of them have given me stuff that is absolutely fascinating. But the Schattenmacher's framing of stuff, I think, is rather excellent. Do you want to read this one quickly here?
Sure. So this comes from Schattenmacher's or the Shadowmaker speech in the Karlstag last year, and his particular focus was sort of on, well, he went over quite a few themes in his talk, but last year he talked, or sorry, not last year, in 2024 he talked about scientific stagnation, as you mentioned there, and that's in the 2024 book, A New Order. But this book, Schattenmacher goes into, well, sort of class one and class two personalities, which is similar to your lions and foxes analogy, but he points out something which is starting to become increasingly prescient. And the quote would be, "The reason we don't have right-wing institutions of suitable size is that we have no ideology that is suitable for the managerial age, neither explicit nor implicit."
Yes,
I'm sure you've seen this type of problem before when you've been in the space, right?
I have. Well, it's also a problem that, again, this is why independent publishing, as low impact as some people think it might be, is very important, because there isn't really a vision there. There is a complete lack of alternative vision. It's not that people don't have ideas that interact with managerialism. The problem is they don't have ideas that interact with them outside of it. There's no kind of seeing outside of the moment stuff. He's very right as well that there's no, it's not even, there's no ideas to challenge it. There's not even ideas to challenge it moderately. I agree with you that there is a lot of people who look backwards don't understand that we have to have answers for the age we live in, not the age that went, because the age that went as well. The answers they had didn't seem to work for them fully. So yes, it is. There isn't really a vision, he's right, that deals with the managerial age. I don't think there's a vision in general that deals with it. I think we've been completely discouraged from investigating many of the instances of change we've had over the last 50 years and the conditions we find ourselves in because of them. There is a distinct lack of curiosity about the how things have changed or why things have changed outside of liberal platitudes. So yeah, I'd agree with him entirely in that. But I don't know, as a but to wrap up a little bit there, because we've got a little bit to shill. First of all, I will just say, make sure you do take advantage of the discount code if you're on the book about on the book on the fence about the book, not on the book about the fence. Discount code FREN, we thought was the most fitting. And yeah, do go and buy books, not just book, but books. Is there anything I've missed there, before we kind of outro out and round out here?
Well, that was it. But if you want to, besides buying books, if you want to get involved and support us in any other way, we are looking for volunteers. So basically, any kind of skill set is welcome. This can be anything from editing and writing skills to academic skills to programming skills for websites, and almost anything under the sun, I'd say. So if for any reason you want to kind of just do things, we're also available for that.
But links to Whiffling, Shieldings, and the Beowulf Foundation will be in the description and the pinned comment. If you have any questions, feel free to ask us on our various platforms, or I'll link Consumer's Twitter down below if you want to contact him there. And along with the social medias, you know, we've all got 1,000 social medias and different platforms we're all on. So I'll get you all the Twitters and the websites, and all the relevant information will be in the description. And the pinned comment. Do not worry, because I know sometimes it's really annoying to find that stuff on YouTube, because it really doesn't like you moving out of their ecosystem. But if you do want to help out, if you're going to get any of these, all the stuff is down below. And like I said, if you have any questions, we're all, you know, we're very enthusiastic about this, as you can hear. So it is something where we're actively promoting, but also just very happy to talk about. So, bit of a different video today. I hope it wasn't too much of an advert, but it is what's going on, and there are things underneath the news cycle, underneath the surface. You know, it may only seem small to people, but there are independent things going on with a different voice that we're rather proud of. So that's what I want to bring you all today. Have a good evening, and we'll see you next time.